If you want to change the intent of your heart, you have to change the way you think. And if you change the way you think, you're going to have to change those words that you're exposing yourself to.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and guest Creflo Dollar as they conclude this week's teaching, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. Find out the importance of keeping your thoughts on God, and it can lead to your breakthrough. Now here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we are blessed again today to have Creflo Dollar here with us on this broadcast. Let's pray. And let's just turn Creflo loose on his thing today. Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving. Oh, the word of the kingdom of God, right in the middle of all the turmoil and the torment and the stress and the strife and the stealing and the killing and destroying, the word of the living God is still strong. And when it's strong in our hearts, then we have peace with God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Creflo, when you were talking yesterday about the spirit and the soul and the body and the thoughts of the heart. And it kept running through my mind, this scripture here in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. In fact, it started the day before yesterday. It kept going on back and forth. For the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword piercing. Now, in that, he's talking about the word's ability to just slice through all of this mess and all the problems and the way things look and the way they feel and the torment and the turmoil. And the word is so sharp when it looks like there's a solid wall against me. And the word just slices its way through there right to the very heart of the problem and produce faith when there wasn't any faith and hope where there was no hope, praise God. So now, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul, which is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions, the spirit, made up of the love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, kindness, temperance, all the fruit of the spirit in the reborn human spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. And this thought came up when you're talking about without the renewing of the mind, there is no transforming. You are going to conform to the world. I don't care if you are born again. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the soul, the mind is the joint between the flesh in this outer world and the spirit man. And if that joint's not strong, something's going to give way. Mm-hmm. And the thoughts. Mm-hmm. Of the mind, so vitally important. And look at this. If the thoughts are not right, then the intent of the heart, your intentions are not right. Mm-hmm. Motive is everything with God. Mm-hmm. We might both be saying the same words. We look just alike, mm-hmm. but you got one thing on your heart and I got another thing on mine. Mm-hmm. You've got on your heart and your mind, you're believing God for an abundance so that you can help somebody. I'm believing God for an abundance just because I want more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we look alike and we talk alike, mm-hmm. but the intent of the heart be different. Mm-hmm. So the thoughts come first. Mm-hmm. And that's what's determining the thoughts. And the word mm-hmm. are what's determining the intent of the heart.
Mm-hmm. And so let's look at where thoughts come from. How do they originate in a man's mind? God gave us His Word. God fully intended on His words to be responsible for originating those thoughts in our
His
mind.
His Word is His thoughts.
That's it? Right. That's right.
Yeah, sure.
And so those words produce the way you think. If you want to change the intent of your heart, you have to change the way you think. And if you change the way you think, you're going to have to change those words that you're exposing yourself to, either words that you're hearing or words that you're speaking. But at the end of the day, those thoughts come out of word seeds. Words produce those thoughts. Your way of thinking comes from those words. So the question is, whose words are you listening to? One of the very reasons God said to Abraham, get away from your family and go to a place that I'll show you of because...
Get out of there.
Get away from those who are framing your way of thinking, is what he was saying. And go to a place because I've got some things I want to do and I can't do it as long as you're under this tent. You're limited. Every time you look up, I want you to see the stars. And as long as you're there, you're looking at the roof of the tent. Mm-hmm. They're framed the Chaldean mindset. It's framing the way you think. And I'm trying to do something outstanding.
Listening to one mom and them saying and all that. I mean,
That's the first thing you did is get away from that old way of thinking. And so to do that, you're going to have to get away from that those words and those ideas and those images. Words, ideas, and images are going to frame the way we think. Now, you look at the web on the computer now, and the kids, how they're exposed to the website and the different websites and the internet, and they're exposed to all. They can be exposed to a lot of good things, and they can be exposed to a lot of bad things. I always like to say the internet is a place where you can be. Creative and critical, but you have to understand, parents, that internet is a place where there are going to be words and there are going to be images and there are going to be ideas. Same thing with the television, words, images, and ideas. Now, if you allow that to go on and they're the wrong type of words, images, and ideas, you're now going to frame a way of thinking. And that way of thinking is going to now determine the motor or the intent of a person's heart. And then as a parent, you sit back and you say, where did that come from? Well, you know it had to come from somewhere. It didn't just exist.
Yeah, it didn't just happen. Yeah. I mean, it had to come from somewhere.
It had to come from somewhere. And what we can do, even in our own lives, you judge yourself. You don't like what you see. Just back up some. This is the intent of my heart. You can get honest with you and God. Here's the way I've been thinking about this thing. Here's where it came from. Now let me take all of that and lay it on top of the word, and then I got to get my way of thinking to line up with this word. Mm-hmm. It's going to change the intent of your heart, and it's going to change your life.
Did you ever notice, I know you have because we've talked about it, but you notice particularly when you're in the ministry like we are, you see all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. I noticed it over the years, someone that was abused as a child by an abusive parent or somebody, particularly someone that just get drunk and just beat the daylights out of mama and the kids and everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, you got a child growing up in that household suffering under the thumb of that man horribly. Mm-hmm. You would think that becoming that would be the last thing that child would ever do. But now, you notice as they get older and they think about their bad parent and they think about this bad situation and they think about that all the time, it will eventually transfer that same intent into them and it seemed like they can't help it. So it did it, didn't it?
It did.
It formed the intent of their heart, even when they hated it worse than anything. Mm-hmm. But if you can't change his mind, if you can't get him out of there and get his mind off that abuse, he'll turn around abusing somebody else.
But Matthew says something. Matthew 12:33 says, let the tree be good or let it be bad. In other words, you can change. You're not stuck.
Yes, you can.
You're not stranded. You let that tree, in other words, it's going to be up to you to determine what the fruit's going to be like. You can change. Now, I use the illustration. You remember when some of these trainers of animals and the animals turned on them? They failed to realize that a lion is still a lion by nature. He's going to do certain things because he's a lion. Now, you can through training, try to get him through training to do some things, and through habit, try to get him to do some things. But then at the end of the day, he's still going to be a lion.
Yeah, that's what he is.
He's still going to be a lion. So now you're wondering how come, you know, all of a sudden when you went to bed with this lion, he bit half your leg. He bit half your leg off because he got hungry in the middle of the night and his nature as a lion showed up. Well, we're not a monkey. We're not a lion. We're not a dog. We have a spirit. We have a soul. We can change our heart. We have a heart. We can change the intent of our heart by allowing the Word of God renewed in our mind to discern the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. We don't have to stay the same. Let the true tree be good or let it be bad. You let it. You're responsible for it. It's just like in the Bible when he says, see to it that you be not troubled. You see to
you
it.
You have to choose, don't you?
You see to it that you be not troubled.
I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life.
Yeah. Now, all week long, we've been just hovering around this. It's a very important issue. It's the issue of, I remember 1990 when you taught a series on honor. And one of the things you said was, God is not asking you to turn the other cheek because you feel like it or not. But if you'll honor God, you'll just do what he tells you. You'll just obey him. You'll carry out what he says. And that's honor. When we take the Word of God and we renew our mind with the Word of God, that is an honorable act.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're doing it because that's what God said. Versus, well, I don't see why I need to change my thinking here because this person said that. And well, you know, the newspaper said that. Well, you know, the government said that. No. That's where dishonor puts a man in a position where things are not working in his life, because here's the part we hadn't dealt with a lot. When you despise his word, you will be lightly esteemed, or it won't be working. Or here's another word people don't like to hear. It'll be like a curse over you. Even though you've been delivered from the curse and you've been redeemed so you can be blessed, dishonoring God's word put you in a place where God doesn't want to, he doesn't want you in that place.
That's what Jeremiah by the Holy Ghost said in the 17th chapter. He said, cursed is the man that trusts in men, departing from the Lord and has no hope.
Yep.
So it don't look right to him to trust God. I can't do that. I'm going to have to trust the government. I'm going to have to trust this or trust that or trust the other. It seems right, but it's going to get him killed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To be able to renew my mind with this word, there's got to be something greater than yourself that you've got to come to a place.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, you got to come to a place where you say, here is God's word. I trust this. When I trust something, I'm not going to be moved. You're not going to be able to move me because I am like a mountain. I cannot be moved because I trust this. And there's got to come a place in a person's life where they say, it's not working. It's not working in my finances. It's not working in my marriage. It's not working in my family. So I'm going to trust God's word. So I'm going to renew my mind. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that I allow this word to weigh in heavier than the circumstances and situations around me. I'm going to make sure that this word carries weight in my life.
I honor.
Yes.
This.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
If when I honor this word, when I make the decision that this word's going to forever be my final authority and it is going to weigh in, that's called honor. When I do that, and renew my mind because I allow it to weigh in, my life will not be the same.
And Creflo, it'll change so fast. It'll change so fast, it'll make your head swim.
Yes. I was teaching this past Sunday. The Lord really, really dealt with me on the issue of tithing and the issue of giving, period, that it had to be based in honor. Because we were just looking at, you know, putting money in the bucket, and you made the issue about the money, and the issue was not with honor. And so if you don't understand the issue of honor, then you will despise God's word to the point where you don't want to renew your mind with it, because you're playing little games about whether you agree with it or not and hadn't come to the place of saying, I honor God's word. This is the final authority. All argument will cease right here. Therefore, I will allow it to govern the way I think about everything. I'm not going to try to change this word. I'm going to let this word change the way that I think.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the different churches right now, there's no honor. God's word doesn't carry enough weight for people to say, let me go and consider it before I make my decision. Let me consider it before I do get involved in this action. Let me consider it before I determine how I'm going to say something. When I allow God's word to weigh in heavier than opinions or even my own problems, His word is heavier than my own problems. All right, now, when God's word weighs in heavier than my own problem, you know what I'll do? I'm going to tithe even though they're calling and bugging me about turning my lights on or off. Why? His word carries more weight than my own problem. Yeah. When I do that, when I understand that when I walk in honor, God's going to honor me. I set myself up to be honored by God by allowing this word to weigh in on my life, and I do it. Now, put all that together and watch the power of prayer now. If I honor God's word and carry it out, then when I pray, God's going to honor my words and carry them out.
Yeah.
And people are still, well, how come I'm not getting any results? Well, I'm not allowing the word to come in there and slice this thing and give me the answers to things I've been struggling with all year long. You're not supposed to be on the downside in a time of famine. God says He'll satisfy us in a time of famine.
Creflo, I got into a mess one time years ago that I just pulled aside to pray. I mean, things were in a mess financially. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a little mess. It was a $1 million mess. And I just set myself aside to pray and seek the Lord in fasting and prayer for several days. Mm-hmm. And over the $1 million that I needed to straighten this mess out. Mm-hmm. And the word of the Lord came to me in there after about 2.5 days of that. And He said, you don't need $1 million. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that word slashing through and coming to the real issues. Yeah. Brother Roberts told me one time, he said, Kenneth, there's always a key issue that you won't see if you're not looking in faith. It's like the little Chinese puzzles. You find that one key piece and the whole thing will come apart. He said, you don't need $1 million. I stood up and said out loud, well, you could have fooled me. He said, you have a spiritual problem inside your ministry that if you don't fix that, I could give you $1 million. He said, it wouldn't be any time. You'd be right back in the same mess you're in now because the problem that caused this mess is still there. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens to natural people and the government trying to solve things. They just keep creating the same problem because they don't know what the key issue is. The thought and the intent of the heart, the word slices in there and shines a light on what really going on in here. And he told me what the problem was, and I had missed him several years before, and I just didn't do what he said. Fixed it, and here it come. The $1 million was no problem. The problem was a situation in there that he had warned me about, and I didn't honor it like I should have. I didn't put it up front like I should have, and I gave it several years there to grow, and it began to create lack around me.
Well, I learned that this from you. We had one of those things to hit, And I remember when you said this. It hit me as if God was talking directly to me. You said, don't look for ways to get the money in. Look for ways to get the word out. And I realized that I had parked. I was tired, and I parked. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing this. I'm tired. Let somebody else do it, you know?
I understand.
And
I've been through that drill. I understand.
Yes, sir.
More waiting, you know.
But when we began to get the team together and we begin to pray about all the different ways to get the word out, it didn't require me to kill myself to listen to God to get the word out. The money came in when we found the ways that God was instructing us to get the word
out. Well, your effort wasn't enough.
No.
And you just trying to increase your effort to increase the income, it ain't gonna do it. Mm-mm. Because it's gonna decrease your productivity. Mm-hmm. When you step away from grace,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and knowing that He take care of it,
mm-hmm.
amen, He take care of this thing, all I need to do is get the word out. Mm-hmm. Well, when you step away from that, your own effort becomes just almost worthless.
Yeah, but what if I hadn't had that word to renew my mind, to change the intents of my heart.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that
I see. The intent was changed from I intend to get the money to I intend to get the word out.
Right.
And that
right.
opened the door for God to bring.
Right.
Me.
But had I not had that word to renew my mind, and this is the thing that hit me when I realized that, man, I need to preach this over again because they didn't change there. And I said, wait a minute, I need to teach them how to renew their mind. They're listening to all of this, but they're not listening from the perspective of renewing your mind with this. So what you're hearing me preach from the pulpit, now you got to look at what you're thinking, and you got to exchange that wrong way of thinking from the word that you're hearing from the pulpit and keep that process going on if there's going to be some change. It's not going to be any change because you heard me say it or because you wrote the note down, but you've not exchanged that wrong thought in your mind for that information that just came to you. And that's what so many people are doing. They're coming to church. You're preaching this great message on the blessing, but they don't even spend any time, first of all, to judge what is the way how am I thinking about the blessing right now? And am I willing to exchange what I have for what I just heard and begin that process of renewing the mind? Had I not heard you say that, had I not judged my thinking about that particular thing, had I not renewed my mind in that particular area, changed my thoughts, change the intents of my heart, I'd have never got out of that
situation.
You had
to put yourself in the place to be available to
Yes, sir.
Didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
And we out of time.
Okay.
Oh. Brother Creflo and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher welcome you to the Behind the Mission Weekend in Charlotte, North Carolina, April 8th and 9th in the Westin Charlotte Hotel. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Events Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be held the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and their special guests. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And the Lord said that to me years ago. He said, I want you to receive an offering every Friday. You give people an opportunity to sow in behalf of what they have heard. And when you do that, you release the very power of the Spirit of God in you towards what you've heard. But just before we came back from the break, I'm so heavily impressed today, Creflo, that you need to receive this offering today and then pray and bless the people in their finances.
Okay. I think about David when he bought out of his affection to the house of God. And then in the book of Psalms, it talked about that God will so prosper those that love Him. I believe that we ought to give out of our affection to God. What has God done for you?
Oh, yeah.
How has God blessed you?
Are you any better off than you were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember what God has done and allow that to mark you so that it becomes a joy to give to the kingdom of God. It becomes a joy to give to ministries that support what God wants done. And when you do it out of your affection, I am convinced that God will begin, because he said, I refuse to do without a cheerful giver
That's
whose
right.
heart is in his giving. And I believe that your heart is in your giving. And there is no future for seed that is sown without being sown in affection and out of love and out of gratitude for God. So, Father, I pray
yes, Jesus.
For those who will give according to the affection that they have for the kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that they will do it with joy, they will do it with gratitude, and they will give with their heart in their giving. And Father, I thank you that all kind of breakthrough will come because they finally give him with great delight. And Lord, we praise you for that, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now then, we pray over your financial deliverance as well as your healing and the power of God in your life. Amen. So you take hold of it in Jesus' name. Go to church this weekend. Now, you know what to do when you get in the Atlanta area. I mean, you go over to Creflo and Taffy, the World Changers, praise God, you get over there and it causes a revival or a riot wherever you go. Praise God. Amen. And we'll see you next week. And don't you, listen, I'm telling you, have the greatest weekend you ever had in your life. And remember this, Jesus is the Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. No matter where you are, if you have internet access, you are seconds away from life-changing answers thanks to the power of search at kcm.org. It's easy. Just find this keyword search block, enter a word, speaker name, topic, or scripture. Search gives you instant 24/7 access to more than 40 years of revelation and inspiration from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Try keyword search today at kcm.org.